Now, if you've been in the church world for any length of time, you probably know this verse. You know this verse well. I want to take it from a different angle. I want to take it from a different slant. The key verse in Galatians 5:22, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Say love.
Love.
Don't that just feel and sound sweet? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Say peace.
Peace.
Forbearance. We'll get into that later. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Let's do that again. Say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me begin with prayer. Father, open our hearts in this series. Let us hear and receive from heaven the divine instruction, direction, and change or improvement as we continue to grow in our relationship with you and in our understanding of your word. Help us to discover what is our part and help us to realize what is your part, because we've not come to waste energy and time only to find out we went down the wrong path. But we want divine guidance and direction, for your word tells us that our steps, our decisions are directed and ordered and guided by you. So Holy Spirit, we invite you here to speak truth and revelation to our hearts and our understanding. Let every person under the sound of my voice receive something today from you, and we give you praise, Lord Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Now, I want to tag a little bit or connect a little bit to our last series. We talked about in spiritual maturity, not trying to conform to an idea, but transform to the idea. Do you remember that? And the whole concept was, even in the church world, we can give a whole list of what a spiritually mature Christian looks like. And those who have sincere desires and are ambitious sometimes will try to conform themselves to that perspective, which means that God's not doing it, they're doing it on their own. The reality is then the outside looks different than what the inside really is. And so they don't have the grace of God because there's not a transforming power of God walking and growing and developing them in their walk with God. And so without that grace, they can't carry the weight or handle the authority, which then they find themselves in positions of life or in the church world where they have authority over people or they have positions of power, and yet they don't handle or manage it well. Why? Because they have, and many times sincerely, but sincerely mistaken, because they've tried to become something they're not. See, this is spiritual maturity, or tying this into the fruit of the Spirit. This is not a fake it till you make it idea. Do you see that? See, that's what happens is in the church world, we'll fake it. Well, that's not really how you feel. Yeah, but that's the way you got to say it so everybody thinks you feel that way. You got to act like you love everybody. And then when you're away from the church people, or when you're with your friends during the week, you kind of go, see, we wouldn't be doing that if it was genuine and it was sincere and if it was real. So it's not about looking the part, it's being the part. It's not looking like the church, it's being the church. It's not looking like a Christian, it's being a Christian. And we're bringing that right into this whole concept of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not looking like you love somebody, but getting into the process of God, getting into the process of God and His Word so that you genuinely love people. So a lot of times, secular world, you just love the people you can get something from. And if I can't get something from you, I don't have time for you. Right? That's how it works in the secular world. So I want to approach this not with the idea of here's all these great characteristics. Here's all these great characteristics that you've got to emulate. Fake. No, no, no. We're going to talk about how to walk this out. And the goal is by the end of this series, you will have some God tools that when applied in the process of time, you will see these fruits, these results in your life in a genuine manner. Though it be love, let's look at that again. Love, joy. Wouldn't you like to really be happy?
Yes.
And not just be sad on the inside, but smile to everybody on the outside? peace. See, kindness, when you start looking at these and start realizing when they are developed in you, catch this, when you are trying to do it on your own and you're faking it, then you're holding these things up like a sign in front of people. And the problem with that is when pressure comes, and we talked about that in the last series, when pressure or opportunities, those are two extremes, when either extreme come, you'll tend to drop those. That's why you see somebody, they look like they got it together, but you know what I mean, let something bad happen and all of a sudden, let's see, an opportunity come and they show their true colors. Don't get quiet on me. Don't point to the person next to you. Come on, just smile. But the reality is when these are developed, and these are or should be always being developed in us, nobody's perfect. I'd be a liar if I stood up before you and said I had all these fruits of the Spirit fully developed and matured and flowing in my life. Right? I'm just going to be real with you. Because we're all on the race serving Jesus, walking this thing out. But I'm showing you that when you have these developed, what's amazing is, one, you don't have to spend the energy to hold this sign up because it's a part of you. I heard a person say once, and it always stuck with me, you know the good thing about always telling the truth? You don't have to remember anything. I love that. That has always stuck with me. Think of all the stress and energy and effort that people that tell lies to different people have to go through because they got to remember what I tell that person, what I tell this person, and okay, did I say it that way? And they're like, you didn't say it, and you're kind of like, oh, I was caught, oh, maybe not. You know what I mean? You got to work. Yeah, good thing about telling the truth, you don't have to remember anything. It frees you. You don't have to hold these signs up to say you're something you're not. It frees you. Do you know why a lot of Christians are miserable? Because they're not truly free. They're trying to look free. They're trying to look like they're walking in love and kindness. And are you with me? And what they're doing is holding up these signs, and it's burning energy. And if you've ever held anything up, it might be light at first, but after a while, it starts getting heavy. Life starts getting hard. And that's not what your Heavenly Father, that's not what Jesus wants for you. Jesus said, my burden and my yoke, they're easy and light. See, religion will put all the weight on you. We're carrying all this weight of what we should be. Jesus said, let me just make you that. Let me show you my word, how you can be that. And then you're not holding this thing up. Are you listening? It then begins to hold you up. Oh, church, there's a whole level of revelation right there. And it's one of the most amazing development experiences in your walk with God where storms that would usually rattle your cage, and instead of being rattled, you just feel the peace of God. And it's not something that you had to mentally convince yourself or try to work it up. You're just kind of like, wow, that doesn't rock my world. People that would typically tick you off and make you mad and blow up, all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I know what they're saying and doing is wrong to me, but I have compassion and love to this person because I think there's more to this. There's something below the surface. They're hurting. It's hurt people, hurt people. How can you get that? How do you do it? It's not something that you fake it till you make it. And that's the point of this series. That's the goal. It is not an overnight process. It's not a take this pill and everything's going to work out. But it's taking the principles and we're going to go line upon line, looking at the Word of God. And as we apply the Word in the process of the Word, watching this grow, develop in us. So today I want to kind of give you a broad view of what this series is going to look like. A broad view. So I'm not going to go in the depths of any specific topic, but I'm going to talk to you about where we're going on this road. It's like going on vacation. You like to know where you're going, right? You know what I mean? I'm kind of a person, I want to know the stops. If we're going to make the stops, you know what I mean? Unless the unexpected, you can't control kind of deal. But if we're going to stop in this town for a couple days, at least tell me so I can mentally prepared for, all right, we're going to go here and go there. And so let me show you a few of the stops that we're taking on this journey. Because the goal here is not for you to fake it. The goal is for us to have the real deal. If you're going to title this, I guess it would be the real deal. We want you to have the real deal when it comes to love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it moves us into a life, because the reality is, as we develop this, the reality is that you can't develop it on your own. Let me stop for a second. Somewhere in this process, I hope it crossed your mind of, I would love to have that, but I can't see me doing that. And if that crossed your mind, you're not in a bad place this morning. You're at a great place. Because what we'll be preaching, what we're talking about, is something that is beyond you. Did you hear me? This is not if you can gather and stir up enough of confidence or enough of willpower or discipline that you can achieve this. I want you to understand that Jesus came to bring grace. Grace does not diminish the standard of living. Grace exceeds the standard of living. So Jesus would say stuff like, it is written, refer to the law, right? Have you heard this before? It's written, you know what I mean, don't commit adultery. Then he'd go on to say, I tell you that if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Is that a lower or higher standard? It's a higher standard. God has a way of creating a higher standard that you can't live on your own. That's why you got to take a step back and say, Lord, he said, love that person? But Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, so do the work in me. That's why Philippians says, it is God who's working in you, giving you the desire and the ability. So I need to pull the curtain back a little bit this morning and say, listen, in these concepts, in these ideas, in these characteristics, the character of Jesus, it's not something that you can just strive for. Because if you can do it on your own, praise God for it. You're a wonderful person, but you'll never do it to the level that God has for you to do it at without him. And that's why we keep embracing him. Lord, I need you. I'm a firm believer that when you get to heaven, if you live the race and run the race correctly, then when you get to heaven, it'll be not, Lord, look what I did for you, but Lord, look what you did through me, because I could have never achieved all that, done all that without you. And it's important to understand, and let me just bring this in balance. It's important to understand that this is like the character side of our walk with God. This is important, because character will keep you, establish you, strengthen you, stabilize you. In our world, it's a lot of times just about gifts or money. But I've seen people get money, and without the character, shortly after, lose it. You know, most people that win the lottery, within 7 years, are worse off financially than before they won the lottery. Can you? That's one of the saddest stories, I think, you could ever say. It's one thing not to have money. It's another thing to have just gone through $150 million, and now you're back to where you were before, and you're like, how is it ever am I going to win the lottery again? Right? So it's developing the nature of God in us. So let's look at a couple things. Let me read the Galatians 5:22 out of the Amplified. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. Do you see that? There's something that God has to do. So I believe in the beginning prayer. Lord, show us what we need to do. Show me what you're supposed to do. Because if I mix those things up, I short-circuit the process. I hinder myself from reaching the finish line. The work which his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, which is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and humility, self-control, self-restraint, and contentment. But once we develop or see these developed in our lives, it brings us to a whole nother level of living that's beyond us. And that's where you get these ideas, and you'll see, not to go on a rabbit trail, that's where you see these ideas of people saying, it's no longer I that lives, in the Word of God. Is he saying he's miserable, life's miserable? No, he's truly saying that the life he's living is greater than any life he could ever live, because it's beyond himself. It's no longer me that's living, but Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing that's living in me. God helping me to run more businesses. I struggled managing 3 people. Now I'm managing 300. How did you do that? God began to develop me, and all of a sudden, the Lord has taken me to a place that's beyond myself. I love stories and hearing people talk about how when they begin to apply the principles of God, how God brought them to a place that they realized for themselves that they could never do it. I had a person recently saying that if I was to apply for my company, they wouldn't even hire me. But today, God has elevated them to be over people with greater titles and degrees. Why? Because Jesus likes to show off. He likes to take you and do something that's so beyond you that when you realize what's going down, you realize that I have to give him the credit. Come on, somebody. Quick story. A few years ago, I was walking through Home Depot with my wife and my daughter, and my daughter came across, talk about good marketing, in Home Depot, a little Disney portable take-home garden. I don't know if you've seen this. Well, all my daughter at that time, at her age, and her sphere of influence and what's real to her, saw Disney. She sees Disney. She wants in. Just, these people are good. I was at a seminar a few months ago, and one of the speakers was the guy who was the CEO of Disney in the Orlando section. And he talked to, and one of his comments is that we have become experts. We've become masters at getting you to come, spend all your money, and thank us with a smile on your way out. They're good, and they know they're good. Who would have thought, hey, I got an idea. Let's advertise Disney and Home Depot. Home Depot, folks. We're not talking about the mall. Home Depot. 2x4s, nails, Disney. Who would have thought that would have ever worked? Right? They must have known that I was coming with my daughter because she was like, Daddy, I want to have a garden. All right, it's $5, whatever. Sure, let's try it. So it's one of those kit things, you know, you have a little plastic thing and they put a little seed and they tell you there's a seed in there. I don't know because we water this doggone thing and stuck it by the window. And after a period of time, you just get tired of watching nothing grow. So the next summer comes along and here we're trying it again. But this particular year, her grandfather said, hey, Logan, let me help you. Let's do a real garden. And so off to the side of our house, they put in this year a little garden. Nothing major. 180 acres. No, I'm joking. Come on, girl, you're 7. Get out there and work. Bring Daddy some tomatoes. Come on. No, that's not how it played out. And so it's just a little garden. It's got like 5 or 6. They planted tomato seeds. So they had to cut out the grass. We're supposed to and put a little fence in so the rabbits or whatnot won't eat it. And tilled up the ground, the garden thing, planted the seed, and then they water it. And it's now at the phase where the plants are growing, and she has like 4 little tomatoes of this big. They're green. Don't taste good. Just take my word for it. Don't ask me how I know. No, I'm joking. You're like, well, let's try one of those. No, it's not good. No, she's got 4 or 5 little tomatoes, and her little garden is growing. She's all excited about that. She goes out and tries to water it or make sure one of us waters it every day. And so that's been like one of our summer projects we got going on right now. The reason I say that is in that story, I want to talk about the process of God to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's interesting that the Lord uses the word fruit because in the metaphor illustration, because a fruit, when you begin to look at it, is not just a result. The fruit needs, in reverse engineering, a couple steps. One of the things we know a fruit needs, it needs a plant or a tree. Did you hear me? It needs a plant or a tree. It needs a connection, something that's going to produce it. It needs something that allows it to be produced. And so we walk through this whole process, and we begin to see how these steps work. And the first thing that you have to do if you want anything to grow effectively, if you have to prepare the ground. Say, prepare the ground. Now, that's so important because if we ignore that step, that first step to prepare the ground, and this concept of fruit growing in our lives or fruit growing in our backyard or fruit growing anywhere, if we don't prepare the ground, Matthew 13 is very specific. We'll get more in details of this later. We'll see very specifically Matthew 13 said that a farmer who owns good seed and plants good seed Some of it will never produce fruit based on the condition of the ground. So I can speak truth to you today. You can hear truth today. But if your ground's not prepared, it can start to grow. But pressure can cause it to die. Opportunities and desire that are exceeding what you should be desiring, or the pressures of situations, can cause it to wither and die. And so it's important to prepare your ground. Say, prepare the ground. In another message, we're going to talk about, in that preparation of the ground, we're going to talk about how to break up. Are you listening? How to break up and deal with past desires. This is going to be good. Because just like a seed that's growing amongst thorns has little potential, a seed of love that's growing amongst a heart of hate doesn't have much chance. We have to deal with some stuff. See, the reality, the devil never tells us this. The devil will just show us. Have you ever noticed that we can sometimes, in our walk with God, start thinking that we can outsmart God? Yeah, any A-type personalities like myself, like, you know what I mean? If I ever see something, I try to figure out if I can do it better. Why should I stand in that line? I think there's going to be a shorter line in this store. Yeah, I just don't want to follow the crowd. I want to see if I can find a better way, right? We take that into our walk with God. I wonder if I can figure it out. And we think we start figuring things out because we can start quoting scripture and say, well, you know what? If I ever sin, I can repent. 1 John 1:9 says, just repent and God will forgive me and cleanse me, and woo, I'm off the races again. And some people have taken that so out of balance that they think that repenting means showing up at church, saying, God, I'm sorry, crying, sing a few songs, giving some money, and let Jesus just wash you clean and you feel good, and off you go to Monday to fill up your tank of what you shouldn't do. Fill your bucket with your sins and mistakes so the next Sunday you come and dump them in the altar. And you got to realize that the devil's been playing this game a lot longer than you, and that he can quote scripture. We see that in the Bible. He quoted the scripture to Eve, and he did it in a way that was conniving and manipulating and was in a little air. He quoted scripture to Jesus in the wilderness. So he'll throw scriptures in your thoughts. You're like, yeah, that's right. I can go clubbing on Saturday and repent on Sunday. Come on, somebody. I know what you're thinking. I should have slept in today. Too late. Automatic seat belts. Ding, ring, click. Tell you the truth because I love you. Because what the devil does in tricking, because he's there to deceive, he's there to take. He's not there to make your life better. And we've talked about this before, and there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it'll cost you and rob you more than you can ever imagine. Hurt more people than you can ever imagine. The trickling effect is horrible. But one of the things that most people don't realize is that when you expose yourself to sin, can God forgive you? Yes, if you repent. That means not only say, I'm sorry, but turn away. But there's something that's residing. You don't hear this preached too often. That has to be dealt with. It's as if you take a fruit off a tree and you throw it to the ground and say, I don't want any more connection to it. Within that new piece of fruit, there's something called seeds. The purpose of that seed is to create a rhythm of perpetuity, which means it creates a pattern that is to be repeated. What is that pattern and what are those seeds? Those seeds that we, once we expose ourselves to sin, those seeds are what you call desires. I don't know why. I repent, I cry, I feel good, but within 2 weeks something happens and I find myself wanting to go back. See, God was able to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took longer to get Egypt out of Israel. When pressure comes or opportunity, what do they want to do? The desire that had been left in their heart wanted to go back. It's not a logical thing, folks. When you're in a phase of a moment of thinking logically, you look at it and say, that's just dumb. And then you find yourself doing the dumb. Why? And you kick yourself, why in the world did I do that? I know better than that. Because it's not logical. There's no reason why someone would wreck their family for drugs, destroy their reputation for a few dollars more. Don't make sense. Destroy their marriage and hurt their children because of an affair. There's no logic to this. That's why the devil deceives. And if you've ever been exposed to that, we've all been exposed to some level of sin, to some level of degree, because the Bible is very specific. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 says, if any man said he's never sinned, he's a liar. So the question is not if any of us have sinned. The question is, once we've repented, how do we deal with the seeds of desire so that we don't continue to do something that takes us into the entrapment and imprisonment of the enemy? Because what happens is you do it and then you repeat it. You do it and you repeat it. And you find your cycle of, God, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And you do it again. And you keep going around this cycle. But the cycle doesn't keep you at the same level. It keeps taking you deeper and deeper. And eventually you give in. And eventually you're in bondage. Eventually you've lost control. Makes no sense. The dangers of desires when gone in the wrong direction. And we'll see how desires are a key element in our lives. Desires aren't bad. Can be bad. But God created us with desires. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll place his desires in your heart. So you can literally live a life where what the right thing to do is the desire you have. Wouldn't it be cool to have all you have to do is check your desires, and your desires were always in alignment with God's word? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But how do we deal with those desires? How do we uproot what the Bible calls that sycamine tree that's been planted in our lives, that's been allowed? If that relates to you, make sure you're here for that message. Breaking past desires. And then we have to begin to sow some seed so we can begin to birth some new desires. So that when someone cuts us off, we don't want to go road rage on them. Do you know Jesus? No, I'm going to introduce him to you right now. You know, we don't want to do that. It sounds Christian. Birthing new desires. And then last but not least, because of time, then we're going to get into the last thing about how to reap. When there's, the Bible says in Psalms 1 that you will reap in your season. Man, you test drive a car when you're 14, you might find yourself in all kinds of problems. You eat that tomato when it's still small and green, it's not going to be a good experience. But there's a transition time, there's a season time, when all of a sudden the fruit of God's presence and spirit has not only been cultivated, it's been matured and developing. And it becomes an asset in your life that you don't have to hold up as a sign proving to others that you've arrived. But it holds you up, demonstrating to others that God is doing a great work in your life. And that's what it's about, the real deal. To have love, joy, peace, kindness. To have the nine fruits of the Spirit operating effectively, demonstrating God's strength and power and goodness in your life. Because when you see people grow like that, you know there's something going on. And that's what God has for each and every one of us. Amen? Do you receive anything from that today? Come on, put your hands together. Let me close with this. In the sowing, the Bible tells us what you reap, what you sow, you will reap. Galatians 6:7 says that. You will always reap greater than you sow. You will always reap later than you sow. You will always reap what you sow. But you will not always reap where you sow. We're going to look at strategic principles to help you and make the investment into your life and lives of others to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Because a fruit needs a tree. A tree needs a seed. A seed needs a ground. And how to walk this whole process out so that you can become who Jesus made you. Amen.